Okay, well, we're going to continue following this pathway of relationship so we can go deeper and deeper with God in intimacy. So we ultimately can engage in heaven, and heaven can engage in the earth through us, through the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body, to the world around us to bring God's love, God's power, God's glory, God's kingdom. We've learned that we can access the legal and judicial court system of the heavenly realms to open our gates and keep them flowing, and that's what we're looking at in this module, the gateways of spirit, soul, and body. We've looked at understanding them, using the courts of accusation, and now we're looking at cleansing gateways. And last week, we looked at familiar spirits. And as Deb said earlier, I would encourage you, if you didn't hear last week, to make sure you download it, get hold of it, because it will be explained more today. And some of the things we do today will be as a result of what we did last week. So we're going to look at actually cleansing our gateways, essentially our soul. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, we're in a body. Our sense that our body is world conscious, and we've collected most of our information from the world, which has then affected our self-consciousness, how we feel about ourselves, and the fact, because we were separated from God, we weren't God conscious. But when we became God conscious, God then started to work on our self-consciousness to deal with everything from the inside out rather than the outside in. So essentially, that we could be yoked to Jesus and follow him, we have God on the throne of our life that enables us to begin to rule, and the river of life flowing, so that it flows out of our spirit, into our soul, and out around us, like Ezekiel 47, a river flowing to bring life wherever it goes, God's life. So gateways, a gateway is a place of authority where dominion is exercised. Whoever controls our life's different gateways exercises authority and dominion and control over us. And therefore, we need to see God in control rather than us or anything else. Our gates are designed to be open and integrated and flow in from the inside out so that all of us are a gateway of heaven on earth. That's what Adam was given his original mandate, to bring heaven to earth by subduing and overcoming and ruling and bringing that dominion. So we all started with sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch, our natural senses of our body. And they fed everything from the outside in, and they affected our soul, which is our conscience, reason, imagination, our conscious mind, subconscious mind, emotions, and will. And when God comes in, his desire is to use those things to direct us, to help us, so that we can engage from the spiritual realm in our understanding of who we are and see everything work together. And the biggest thing is our choice. What will we choose to do, and who will we choose to follow? Because God has given every single person free will. All of us have a free will to choose. That's the dignity that he holds mankind in, but he's not created us robots. He's created us with the ability to choose. Now, those choices, there are consequences for. So it's really important we make the right choices. So God wants to live within us and flow through us to help us make those right choices. And he uses the different senses that he has created us to have to help us. So all these things are designed by God to help us flow. And they all work together, our spirit and soul gates working together. So the senses of our spirit in fellowship and then revelation work together with the senses of our soul to bring us to a point of choice. Worship is where we surrender and yield in obedience to the King, and then we can make a choice from that point of worship. If we're not in a place of worship, then our choices are directed by other things. 1 Corinthians 6:17, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when we yoke ourselves to Jesus, when we surrender the throne or the seat, the rest and government of our life, when we drink living water and we engage with the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son, then we become one and flowing. But that flow can only go so far if the gateways or the sluice gates, whatever way, picture you want to use, are blocked or closed or hindered. And God's desire, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is this, that may the God of peace himself. So this is a personal, intimate relationship with God himself. It's not just a set of functions or set of things we do. This is a relationship. May himself sanctify you. In other words, set you apart and prepare you entirely. Nothing missing, nothing broken is God's desire. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete and without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God desires to bring us into completeness and wholeness, so there is nothing there contrary to his will and purpose and the design that he created us with, but there must be a process to go through to bring us into what God has already done on the cross to enable that process to take place. So we are, according to Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So we're made in the likeness of God. So there's something about how we are, body, soul, spirit, that's made in the likeness of God and is created. It also says in Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. So our whole existence is designed to operate within the context of our relationship with God. So what is our being? Well, our body, spirit, and soul, that's our being. Our soul is made up of the conscious mind, the will, the emotions, but primarily with those other senses attached to it. So let's look at our soul, and we're going to start looking at the area of our subconscious mind or our heart. That's where we would call our knower, where we know things instinctively because they're programmed there. And we have memories, beliefs, values, lies, mindsets, truth, maybe a little bit of truth in there, that we use. And we use that to basically live. And it's the things that are programmed and they come into our conscious mind so that we function by. Now, they're affected by nature, our DNA, what we've received from our parental line, nurture, how we've been brought up and what environment that has been in, and trauma, things that have happened to us that have affected us negatively often. And those things create patterns of behavior that enable us to function, coping mechanisms. Because if we have been damaged by nature, nurture, trauma, then we have to live. We've got a very strong survival instinct built into us. You know, you were one of 3 million or something that survived to bring life in the womb. So we all have these patterns, and ultimately they create defense mechanisms and stronghold walls that protect us, but often they are actually prisons that imprison us. Familiar spirits, as we said last week, operate within the conscious mind to speak those little things into our mind, those little conversations that we have that try and rob us and lie to us and cause us to act according to what we believe on the inside rather than what God says. And they also operate within that area of our subconscious mind to affect us. And they promote in our conscious mind various things, suggestions, ideas, worry, various attitudes, doubt, unbelief, thoughts, reactions, responses. All those things operate in the conscious mind because they get triggered by what's on the inside of us. So then God comes in and we then have revelation of something else. So what we then need to do is essentially then deal with the lies and the mindsets and the beliefs that have come from those negative things so that we can get rid of all the negative things that come into our mind, and then we can respond and have thoughts and attitudes and ideas that come from the Spirit, creative ideas and thoughts. And God, then we can deal with those familiar spirits so that we're not plagued from the outside. So the idea then is that our conscious mind and our subconscious mind work perfectly together. We're not separated. You know, it helps to break it down to see it, but ultimately God desires that we just flow. Then we have our emotions, and our emotions are our next level out, if you like. And in our emotions, there is the need for certain things: esteem, value, worth, acceptance, security, love. All of us have those needs built into our emotions. We need that. The problem is we got it from the wrong source. Because we were separated from God, we had to get it from the world. So we have lots of unmet needs. A lot of needs for those value, worth, and love and security have been unmet. So they've left us empty. And we've desperately sought to get those needs met from the things in the world. So therefore, we may have low self-esteem. We may have disappointments in our life. which have made our heart sick, it says in Proverbs. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So there are areas within our emotions that are damaged by the experiences of life. These create things like codependency, the need to get something from somebody else and be codependent in a relationship with them. And there's lots of those type of relationships. We can be codependent, not just with people. We can be codependent with substances and all sorts of other things. Insecurity, rejection are often the result of being hurt and damaged emotionally. And then that can create guilt and shame, dependency on certain things to meet our needs. Unforgiveness, that operates in this area, and that often results in resentment and bitterness, which again damages and causes our soul and even our body to be affected by that. Sometimes people's body, their health, can be affected by unforgiveness and things that are in their soul. And ultimately, we have a lot of potentially unhealed hurts which cause us pain. And we don't like pain, so we try and cover it up or block it out or get rid of it in some way. Often that's where the familiar spirits kick in that give us those little treats to try and take away the pain. And we looked at that in detail last week. And therefore we get strongholds that are created in our emotions that again imprison us. They protect us from more hurt and damage and pain, but actually they're prisons that just keep us locked up emotionally. All these things then operate within the conscious mind as triggers, and then our thoughts are affected by those things. Now, we need to deal with those triggers, get rid of all those negative things so that when in our relationship with God, he actually meets all those needs. And again, his desire is to bring our conscious mind and our emotions completely working together so that we are operating from the values that we've received, knowing who we are and our experience of who we are, from knowing the worth and the esteem and all those things that come from God. And then the sort of the area of our soul which connects mostly with our conscious mind is our will. And a lot of us have used this area to survive. And so we have sin in our life that affects our will. It creates things within us, stubbornness, rebellion, unbelief, indecision, control, fear, doubt. Those things operate in this area of our will. And as we have those things there, if we don't deal with them, they continually affect our decisions. Because often we use our will to choose and decide. And some of us have got strong wills, and we're very stubborn. And some of us have not got, we've got weak wills, and we're very compliant, depending on what's happened to us in our lives. But if we deal with those things and develop trust in God, and this is the key, do we trust God and allow him to lead us, direct us, and in him have our being? Or are we needing to be in control of our own life and therefore having to do everything for ourselves? And that's where Satan offers us that as the pathway of the knowledge of good and evil. Humanism is, well, we don't need God, we can do it ourselves. The world is in that, in the state it's in because of that choice. If we learn to just trust God, again, we can have our will fully functioning with our conscious mind so that we make the right choices, because we trust God's will direction as he leads us, as he gives us insight or revelation, we trust him, and we make decisions based not on what is going to be the best for me, but what's going to be the best for him, which will also be the best for me, but it will come from that relationship. So then we can have in our will humility. We're not doing things to promote ourselves, we're just trusting God, but knowing who we are. Confidence, endurance, boldness, courage, perseverance, determination, self-control, patience. All those things are a result of being in relationship with God and our will functioning correctly. So ultimately, God wants our soul, directed by our spirit, to help us to make the right choices, every choice we make. So when I was on the 40-day fast in 2010, I did a 3-week blitz on cleansing my gateways. Now, I wouldn't encourage anyone to cleanse 50 odd years of your life in 3 weeks, but I had 3 weeks, so I made the most of the time. So I blitzed through these things. It was really, really emotional. And I did 2 or 3 years of my life at a time, looked at a year, looked at what had affected each of my soul gates, looked to deal with everything that God showed me in that year so that I could be free, and went right back through my life from that point, year 52, right back to before when I was in the womb, and you can go back before that. So I looked at each year, looked at each soul gate. During this process, I was looking to identify the nature, nurture, trauma effects that had conformed me to the external world and had shaped my life. I didn't want to be shaped by those things. I had revelation of who God had called me to be, and there was intention between not being able to fulfill that because there wasn't a flow of life flowing through me. So this was a challenge, but I'm really glad that I spent that time. You know, I would do 2 or 3 years and collapse on my bed, completely emotionally drained, because actually I get to get over myself a lot. And it's quite emotionally draining to get over yourself, because you have to own and identify and be real and honest with yourself, not covering it up or hiding. So I looked to identify the familiars that were behind those factors in my life, and I discovered that I was fractured mentally and emotionally. My true eternal identity was obscured behind the strongholds and walls that were built to protect myself. And I identified various things in my process that helped me become free. I had belief systems that were lies masquerading as truth. And if you just believe that, then you just believe it and you act according to it. So you need to understand the truth, not just what you believe is the truth, because they're different. Actually, truth is a person, Jesus. I had behavioral coping defense mechanisms which were created by my survival instinct to protect myself, and I was in prison, and they imprisoned me behind those walls. And those, some of them were emotional strongholds, some of them were mental strongholds. What I did is I walked with God daily through those gates to identify where, when, and how these things had operated, what came in each year, and then I was able to deal with it. So I systematically worked each gateway. Now, some people do it in different ways. I'm very systematic, so I started with one and then worked through them all. And then I did that for each year. Some people like to do them in groups or various things. Work it out for yourself. But I progressively became more whole, more integrated spirit, soul, and body, and they began to work much more in unison the more I progressed through this and the more I understand myself. This process requires desire. If you do not desire it, you won't have the discipline to get to the point where it's a delight. It will be so hard, therefore you'll put it off. The reality is we're in a marathon, not a sprint. Jesus is not coming back tomorrow. We're going to have a generation, at least, to establish these things, equip the next generation so that they can walk into this stuff, because we're able to help them and disciple them. So it's really worth taking the time to prepare and train well. And when I first shared this sort of stuff, everyone sort of balked at it, really. They were like, I don't have to go through all that, surely. You know, I can remember talking to Graham, actually, and we were like, you know, and it's like, well, how are you doing? Well, how's this working? And it's like, well, I'm struggling. So what have you done? No. You know, and actually, the reality is, it's like, find your way to do it, but actually, you need to do it. If you don't get this thing open, you're going to have blockages that aren't going to flow. And yeah, you may need to just find your own way. This works for me, but find a way that works for you. Don't think this is all too complicated, it's all too heavy. I'll spend too much time doing all this. It's worth spending the time now for the results that will come later. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, so the spiritual realm is around us all the time, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race. If you don't want to give up or keep stopping, then you need endurance. Endurance comes through training. You don't just have endurance, you have to run. You don't run 20 miles to start with, or a marathon. You start with, you know, a few hundred yards if you're really unfit, but if you're, you know, generally half a mile, couple of miles, eventually you can do 5 miles, 10 miles, then you start to have endurance that you can then use. And how do we get this endurance? Well, we fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He endured. He is our model and example. What he went through to produce our salvation was not easy. It says, for the joy set before him. So see the joy that is at the end of the process rather than the pain that might be at the beginning of the process. Then the joy will inspire you to go through the pain. If you just look at the pain and don't look at the potential end results, you'll probably struggle to actually persevere. Because Jesus endured the cross, despising his shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So as a result of this, we end up with authority and power. But it does take some working through. The process may seem daunting and potentially painful. Your soul's fear, the familiars, will do everything and anything they can to put you off and intimidate you at this point. Don't be robbed of your future and destiny by your past, whether it be nature, nurture, trauma, experiences of sin, guilt, shame, condemnation, whatever's operating in you, don't allow it to rob you of what God has in your destiny and your purpose. Pursue it. I worked through all 52 years of my life at the time, and subsequently it's just become a lifestyle. First love is the key. It's the first gate. If we don't open our up to God and allow our God to bring love and peace and joy and security and all those needs that we've got into our life, then we'll struggle to go through the process. So if there is emotional damage through relationships, whether it be parents, spouse, family, friends, authority figures in our lives, those unmet needs will affect our soul's desires and motives. Unhealed hurts will affect our emotional desires and motives. So we need to deal with first love, make sure that we can receive love from God, then that love is the foundation on which everything else is built. If you don't know God's love, it's really difficult to trust him to bring healing and wholeness into your life. So the soul's attempt to meet its own needs is what's created all these behavioral responses that we have. So acceptance, love, safety, security, approval, significance, affirmation, identity and purpose, affection, value and worth. God wants to meet all those needs in us. We need to go to him. We go to him when we invite him into our spirit from that place of the kingdom in us. So we need to know God's love. It's foundational, which is why first love is so important. When I sought to unload all my soul gates, I looked in relationship to deal with it. I asked God to stand with me in each gate. I asked for revelation from him. I didn't just go and try and figure it out in my head. It came by revelation. The revelation came by thoughts in my mind and memories of experiences that have happened to me, or memories of things that have gone on in my past, came into my conscious mind because I asked God to unlock them. Because a lot of us don't know what's actually caused some of the things that have happened. Some of them were so traumatic we blocked them out. And some people can even be dissociated in different personalities because of the pain of trauma. We need to be reintegrated to find out where the lies are through lie busting and other things. For me, this was my lie bust before I knew about lie busting. I just asked God to give me the truth. I was ruthless with myself, ruthlessly honest and open to the light. I didn't try and argue, although, well, I did, but I soon realized it didn't work. You know, if this was gonna work, I had to get over myself and pride and all the other things that could be in the way. So I engaged relationally, looked to identify the patterns of sin, the weaknesses, the hurts, the mindsets, those character issues in my life. My soul and our souls, when we look to do this, will try and make excuses, project blame onto others, and be in denial. That's the ways in which it's learned to deflect looking at itself in openness and honesty. You know, well, I haven't got a problem. It's your problem, not mine. Well, the reality is, it's always a two-way street in everything, but in us, there are things that we need to deal with. Then we must be willing to own it, confess it, repent of it, renounce it, and forgive anybody as necessary. Then all the blockages can be removed. You know, we don't have to continue living in as a result of our past. We can live from eternity, and that's God's desire for us. So I had a desire to flow in everything that God had created in me. Because I'd been in heaven for 3 weeks or was engaging in heaven regularly at that point in time and experiencing the revelation of God, and particularly when God brought things into me like dealing with my father wounds and dealing with betrayal in that realm, It literally created a desire for more. I was hungry and thirsty for more, therefore willing to put into any discipline in place to make it work for me. That desire produced the willingness to persevere and persist. I now feel so much more whole, integrated, and at peace than I could have imagined when I started. Because you don't know until you know. You know, but when you know, it's like, whoa, why didn't I live like this always? Because you're damaged. So I opened my first love gate, invited Jesus to stand with me in each of my soul gates, asked him to reveal everything that negatively affected each gate. I did this for each year of my life. I started now in the present because I thought, well, I'm going to remember things easier now. But I didn't. You can start the other end if you want to. And then I dealt with everything right back to the womb. And you can even go into the generational line beyond the womb to find out where nature and DNA has affected our present. So what I identified were specific sins, lies, beliefs, hurts. I repented, renounced, forgave, took any familiar to court that I would identify, applied the blood of Jesus to cleanse the gateway. Really important thing to do. The blood of Jesus carries the effective power of transformation within it, the life of God. It can cleanse things. I surrender the gateways afresh to the Lordship of Jesus. I don't want to control these gates myself. I want Jesus to be in control. I focus then on flowing from my spirit outwards to engage my soul. So it was like, which spirit gates will bring the best benefit to my soul gates? And I found reverence and fear of God work with my conscience, or revelation would work with reason or imagination. I found intuition would work best with my emotions, those gut instinct things that come from our spirit connected with God. So going through each of the gates, conscience is our protector and director. Sin, deception, pride, independence, judgment, criticism, defensiveness. Those are just a few of the things that were in my conscience. It's like, I might feel, oh my word, I'm terrible. Such a bad person. No, I love God and God loves me. So I didn't look at it from the negative. I just thought, hey, I want to get rid of all this stuff. I won't be affected by that going forward. So then I found the patterns of specific events that came to mind as thoughts, which brought those things into my life in each year. And some years, specific memories came up that directly pointed me to things that had happened that had brought these things in my life. Now, generally, I've always asked for forgiveness for things. So I didn't have masses of unconfessed sin, but there were some things that I didn't see as sin. So I never confessed them because they weren't sin to me. Now, they weren't sin to me because I was being directed by lies rather than truth. So I had to own them as sin and then repent of each thing. So I repented and renounced the specifics and applied the blood of Jesus to that in each year. So those things like sin and rebellion, they dull and desensitize our conscience. So something may seem right, which isn't right, because we just can't actually see the truth. That's why someone can be brought up, let's say, in a good home, and they know the basics, like, well, don't steal or murder or kill people. If you're brought up in a home that's a criminal family, let's say you're brought up in a mafia family, actually killing people and stealing and robbing and all those things would seem perfectly normal to you. Your conscience would not tell you that's a bad thing to do, because your conscience has already been shaped by nurture and even nature if you come from a family history of that. So there are weaknesses or patterns of sin which may be normal, acceptable behavior to us, which have come through nurture that we have to be open to allow God to change our mindset towards. And that's why we have to be willing to get over ourselves. Don't argue. It's like, if it's sin, own it as sin. Confess, repent, renounce it. Apply the blood of Jesus. Receive forgiveness and cleanse it. This is the whole thing. I don't have to feel bad about it when I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. It no longer has a negative aspect over me. So therefore, no guilt, shame, or condemnation. Then righteousness can be our guide rather than our convictor. Starts off convicting us of what isn't right, and then becomes the guide that tells us what is, which is great. And I found that reverence and fear of God empowered my conscience to act, and it became much sharper. Therefore, were certain things that were no problem to me before, now I didn't want to look at that, do that, see that, do any of it, because now my conscience was operating differently. Reason. the error that's the translator and interpreter of the thoughts of God, so we can know the truth. There are strongholds, which are mindsets. There are words that are spoken over us. There are words that we've received as truth, which are lies. Curses, fear, false doctrine, lies, deception, all sorts of stuff that operates in our reason center that cause us to operate in our mind the way we do. So again, I identified each thought, the doctrine, where it came from. I had so many religious doctrines which were just rubbish. You know, they just come through a religious system rather than a relationship, which brought us into dead works and bondage. So I had to own those things. Belief systems, value systems, which were actually the building blocks of my life, which is why I had so many walls of defensiveness around me. These things, they have to come down. So I identified these patterns, asked where they came from, explored each year, and received the revelation. Again, did the same thing. Repented, renounced, applied the blood of Jesus. All the neural pathways to those memories started to get broken. Now, truth could replace lies, because lies have connections to our conscious mind that cause us to act in accordance to them. When you start to deal with these things, you break those neural pathways. There are things that I can't even remember now. They're completely gone from my memory. My imagination. Our imagination is the receiver and transmitter where God speaks to us and where we can see and perceive things in the spiritual realm. In other areas where our creativity is released and other things. Images pollute or blur what we can see and perceive. And often negative images, particularly in men, are very powerful. And, you know, people have given testimony of like they want to get intimacy with God, and then all of a sudden this image comes up and it just robs them of intimacy. So those images can come through TV, films, books, fantasy, games, internet, magazines, real life. Doesn't matter where the image comes, it's whether that image carries with it a negative. And that negative, therefore, just blurs our ability to see sharply and see the things of the kingdom. So for each image that came to my mind, and loads of them came to my mind, I mean, I'm a very visual person. You know, I like watching stuff. So there were so many images. You know, things like, you know, I used to be into sort of certain computer games like Call of Duty and stuff like that. And it's like, not say there's anything in it in itself, but they're so full of gory bloodshed, you know, and these things were just negative. And God brought them to my mind, and I repented and renounced it. And it was like taking, and Ian Clayton uses this illustration, see the image in front of you, take the blood of Jesus like red paint, and use a paintbrush and just obliterate it. And I actually found that those images, again, are completely removed from my mind. They're no longer there. They can't come into my mind or pop into my mind because they've been completely blocked out. And some of those images will be triggers to your behavior. You know, an image of certain things when you're in recovery can be very dangerous to your recovery. This can remove those images completely from your subconscious mind. And then I dealt with my subconscious mind, where the memory, my heart, if you like, where the memory and program storage is. Every program is stored there that comes into my conscious mind. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks within himself, his heart, so is he. This is where I really believe. This is what I believe about myself, and I act in what I believe here. What's programmed there? It's like the hard drive of my life where all those memories are stored. They trigger and load default programs into my conscious mind. And I found that there were lots of them that I needed to deal with. And I went back each year of my life, found out where they came from, and then got them dealt with. So the subconscious mind is like a huge storage facility with so many lockers in it. And those lockers can be opened at certain inappropriate times or times of triggered things. Memories can trigger it, experiences, all sorts of things can trigger those things. So I asked Jesus to search my heart. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Because I can't know my heart independently. Because it says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Because of the stuff that's in there. He knows my heart, and I asked him to reveal it. Try me. Put me on trial. Take me to court. Show me. If there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's a scripture that I'd encourage you to use. So expose the negative memories that were the trigger points. That's what I asked. For each year, God showed me things. I went through the same process. A Apply the blood of Jesus to each memory and each year that was brought into light. Don't try and do things that you're not shown. Some years I couldn't really get an awful lot, so I just generally just said, okay, anything else that's there, I repent of. But some years there were things which were significant years in my life, had lots of things in there. The memories get obliterated, the neural pathways get broken, then you have more storage capacity to deposit the truth. Sow the seeds of testimony into your life that become things that then you can feed off that fruit that's produced in the garden of your heart. We'll look at that in detail in a future session. Our emotions, our responses and feelings come from our emotions. Rejection, disappointment, fear, unforgiveness, betrayal, all sorts of vows. I made inner vows in my emotions when I was hurt, and they became things that protected me from future hurt, but imprisoned me, as Deb would testify, to being emotional. So I had to deal with those things. And I dealt with a lot of it in my life, but I wanted to make sure that I dealt with all of it, in a sense, as much as I could at the time. So I dealt with each memory I received, linked to the hurts that had happened to me, and therefore I received healing into those damaged emotional areas. So how I saw the world and myself changed as a result of this. I forgave and released the debts of those who hurt me. Because when someone hurts you, it's not just what they did then, but the ongoing effect of that has had in your life. And it can go on for years and years until you deal with it. So I forgave and released, received healing and restoration in those damaged areas, asked for revelation of any things I've done to hurt others out of my own brokenness, because out of our own brokenness, we damage people. But what we do and say to them, not necessarily intending to, but we do because we are broken, and therefore we create brokenness in our relationships. I had to repent of that. And then the will, the motivation, the courage, the persistence in that will area, sin, rebellion, stubbornness, control, I received revelation of where that operated in me. Self-righteousness was a big one there. Well, if I'm right, then I don't need to deal with anything, you know. And we have to deal with that and own it and recognize it. So I repented again, applied the blood of Jesus. And so I could choose. This is the whole point, to worship by surrendering to God's will. So my desire to honor God with my life and behavior and obedience through reverence and fear of God, that motivated me to make the right choices, free from the damaged soul. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, that I don't have to continually open up my heart to God, because this just dealt with the behaviors. I have to get underneath that again to look at the motivations behind that, which we'll look to do when we look at being a living sacrifice. But this freed me in so much to engage in a flow of life. I have free will to choose, and I choose not my will, but God's be done. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. If we get to that point where we can say every day of our life, not my will, but yours be done, we're going to find that majority of our time we're following what God's purpose and bringing glory to him and being fulfilled. So let's deal with those unmet needs that affect our soul's desires. Let's deal with the unhealed hurts. Let's deal with the unresolved issues that affect our trust, that create doubt and unbelief. Don't bury it, suppress it, or cover it up. Deal with it. That's the best way. It may be painful because you have to face memories of things which were very emotionally hurtful in the past, but it's worth it because then you're free from the effects of it for your future. Take your time, be consistent, diligent, and persevere. Yeah, it took a whole lifetime to get you into this state. It's not going to change by a magic wand, but it doesn't have to take that long. You know, it's worth spending a year really getting stuff sorted so that the rest of your life can be transformed. Be proactive about it. The choice is yours. You can stay as you are or be conformed to the eternal pattern that's in God's heart for you. So after that four-week blitz, I then spent the next 2 or 3 years daily engaging the gateways to understand how God had wired me up as a person. Who am I? How has he made me to function? How are these things in me, my emotions, or that area of my conscience or imagination going to work? So I looked at my redemptive gifts, the spiritual gifts, who I am, how wonderfully I'm designed by God, and then I don't have to compare myself to anybody else. I don't have to look at anyone else. I just have to be me. That is so liberating, just to be you. So I sought then to experience my spirit and soul flowing together, integrated and one. So last week I talked about a battle plan. If you can deal with something for 40 days, basically 6 weeks, you can change any behavior and you can have a new behavior that comes into life. So I have some battle plans that I've prepared. So anyone wants to do this, all the material that you need in terms of truth and scriptures are already in it. But they have some foundational things. So there's a whole load of these for those who want to bravely go down this route, which has all the information that you need within them and a sort of basic plan that you can adapt for yourself. So identify the familiars is the first thing. Mindsets, behavioral patterns, lies. Get that revelation from God. Develop it specifically for you, whether particular bondage or mindset or familiar or group of familiars you want to deal with. Develop it and use it. You need basic biblical foundations of truth to bring freedom. That's what Psalm 23:39 is all about, finding that truth that confronts the lies. John 8:31, Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed him, if you continue in my word, you have to continue with this. It's a lifestyle, not something you just do once and that's it, forget it. You are truly disciples of mine. So if we're disciples, we're following him. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So in relationship, you can know the truth. Obviously, Jesus is the truth. It's a personal revelation and relationship with him. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And that is the joy that's set before us in this process, that we will be free indeed. So there are some scriptures that you use as foundations for this battle plan. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, about the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. So this is not just doing stuff out of your willpower, but divinely powerful for the destruction of those strongholds, fortresses, and everything else. And you have scriptures there. James 4:7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to resist, stand firm, don't give up or give in. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So make sure in this process you speak the truth and not the lies. Guard your tongue. Romans 12:1, present yourself so you're not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so our minds can take on the truth of who we are as God directs. So identify the familiars, take them to court, use and enforce the verdict, take captive the thoughts and enforce your court orders, work through the issues that you identify as you cleanse your gates. And then know the truth to be set free. Use biblical verses that confront the lies and mindsets. If you don't know the truth, it's very difficult to deal with the lie. So we don't try and get rid of the lie. We find the truth, and the truth will get rid of the lie. Meditate and confess the truth. Experience the truth by encounter with God. Use the righteousness and truth declarations that are within this pack, the who I am scriptures, the since I am scriptures, they're all basic biblical truth that as you meditate in them and confess them, will bring about change and transformation. So first 2 weeks, defeat the negative speech and thoughts by replacing with positive speech and thoughts. So renew your mind to know your identity as the righteousness of God. This is the foundation. Start the day by surrendering your tongue to God through praise, thanksgiving, and praying in tongues. Start off by giving yourself to God. Open your first love gate and invite God's presence to fill you. Daily step into the realm of heaven by faith and receive your robes of righteousness, because there, that's where the truth of who you are in your spirit will be received to flow into your soul on earth as it is in heaven. So step into heaven regularly to receive righteousness. So then daily confess and meditate on the righteousness of God declarations. Use that to engage in the truth. As you cleanse your gateways, begin seeking God to reveal what he wants to deal with. Keep a list and then work through the list. There's a sheet in here that says let it go and grab hold of. So there are things there that will help you think, well, I don't want any of this, and I want this. You read that to give you some ideas of what to get hold of. Arrange a line bust. If you need in the first stages, get a line bust. Get some basic things that are lies brought into the light so that you can move forward. Then take the specific issues to or familiar to the court. Decree, declare, use the verdict is an ongoing thing. Focus on the thinking about the truth, but make sure you take captive every negative thought. That's the key in this, focus on taking captive the negative thoughts. If the thoughts continue, do a contempt of court case. Ensure you finish your day in victory by confessing, forgiving, praising, and sleeping with the Holy Spirit. Don't sleep with the enemy. How do you sleep with the enemy? By going to sleep with unforgiveness or unconfessed sin. And if you sleep with the enemy is active to work in you all night. If you sleep with the Holy Spirit, you can submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, even to bring revelation and truth to you, even while you're asleep. So be positive about the process. The next 2, 3, 4 weeks, 3 or 4, establish positive speech and thinking by meditating and declaring the truth. You are now not focusing so much on what you have to deal with, you're now actually focusing on dealing with it in the truth. So again, establish those new mindsets based on your identity. Open your first love gate every day. Step into heaven every day. Meditate and use the Who I Am scriptures. This is who you are. All the truth of what the Word of God says about you. Use those scriptures. Continue daily confessing and meditating on the righteousness of God. Add to that and build. Take captive every thought and praise God when negative thoughts come. This is a really good thing. The enemy hates you praising God. So when a negative thought comes, you can say, "Oh, thank you for that negative thought. It's going to cause me to praise you, God." You'll find the enemy does not want you praising God, so it will stop giving you negative thoughts. Just your attitude to it will change. So there are tips you can use in this. Continue to use the courts if you need it. Be open for the Holy Spirit to lead you, to give away what's been given to you. The best way to get more is to give away what you've got. Freely we've received, freely give. So share your testimony with others. We'll bless them, but we'll also bless you. Ensure, again, you finish your day not sleeping with the enemy. Weeks 5 and 6, persevere in this lifestyle of positive speech and thinking. Claim your righteousness as the Son of God. Start to really take hold of who you are and the authority you have to rule and have dominion. Same thing, open your life every day, step into heaven every day, continue meditating, and add the "since I am" scriptures, because those are, since I'm this, I have this. All the promises and blessings of God because of who I am. Continue confessing the truth so that you're operating as a joint heir and a son of God. Take authority over every weak areas in the righteousness that you are to establish it. So use the courts if you need to. Again, be open for the Holy Spirit to give it away, and don't sleep with the enemy. So basically, you can take that battle plan. There's a whole, all the scriptures are in here that you need. All the confessions are in here. You can make your own. Be determined not to be robbed by the past, but to engage the truth and the future. So we're going to finish with a brief little exercise just to do this. Remember, Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him." This is our first love gate. We do that. The handle's on our side. We have to open it. So by faith, picture that handle in your spirit and make a choice. So close your eyes. Activate your imagination. Picture that door. Make a choice, your will, the desire of your heart, to open that door by faith. Reach out, open the door, welcome the presence of God to flow into your spirit, to fill you with love, joy, and peace. Allow your whole spirit, soul, and body just to engage him as he embraces you, puts his arms of love and acceptance around you. You can feel the warmth of his presence. Just experience that love, affirmation, approval. And just invite Jesus to walk through your spirit gates. Ask the Holy Spirit to flow in that river of life. and just choose to engage one of your soul gates. You may want to do your conscience or your imagination or your reason, whatever one you feel led to do. And invite Jesus to stand with you in that gate. And choose to engage a year of your life. You may want to use this year, or whichever one you feel led, but it's good to use the first one probably. And just ask Jesus to reveal anything that's affected you in this year and damaged that gate or negatively affected that gate. Just ask for that revelation. Just allow his thoughts, the revelation on whatever issue he wants you to deal with today, whatever's blocked that gate in that ear, just to come into your mind. When it does, own it, repent, renounce. May need to forgive. Invite the river of life to cleanse that gate. Invite the glory of God, the fire of God's presence, to purify and refine that gate. Feel the heat of his presence consuming everything that's a hindrance as you present it to him. Dealt with one thing, just invite the Holy Spirit to come through your spirit gates, just to empower that gate, restore and make it whole. If you're dealing with your conscience gate, let reverence come and activate that area. Revelation touching your imagination or your reason. If you've identified a familiar and there's opposition, or you see something as a dark figure or something that's blocking or hindering, if you can really see it's there, then you know you can take that to the court, get a verdict, use that verdict. Basically, make this a lifestyle. Use it as part of your plan of action to be transformed. You can spend more time developing how you listen, how you hear, what works for you and your own soul, so that you will be who God created you to be, the Son of God, empowered, answering creations grown, bringing transformation, bringing heaven to earth, doing the works of Jesus and the greater works. All who you are, conform to his image. Use communion. Take the body and blood of Jesus every day. Apply it, that truth, to change and transform yourself and get your heart purified and refined and full of the fire of God's presence.